All right. Thank you for attending the HRC meeting, September 10th, starting at 5:17 p.m. At this time, Rick, can you please take roll call, sir?
Yes, doing roll call. Eric Howard. Eric? I see him there, but we'll get a voice from him in a moment. Ashley Jackson?
Present.
Cedric Smith?
Present.
June Webb?
Present.
June?
Yeah, I'm present.
Okay, sorry. Jose Romero?
Present.
Okay, and Eric, are you able to hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
There we go. Perfect. All right. So we have a quorum, five. And for purposes of the advisory members, if they're there or not, I'm doing John Dalton, Iris Berry. All right, so you have a quorum.
Okay, so moving to the agenda. Section 2, approval of minutes for the August 13th meeting. Does anyone have any remarks before we move to approve those meetings? I have to raise my hand and say I have not had the opportunity to review the minutes. So I hope someone has.
Yeah, but do we want to take a minute for you to review?
We can. I was trying to speed read. I'm not the fastest reader, June, but I was trying to read and see if I picked up anything. I personally did not. I don't know if any of the fellow commissioners did see anything that I may have missed. I didn't see anything that really stood out that needed correction. I'm not sure if anyone else.
No, I read it. It's actually very well put together.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. How about you, Josue? You see anything, buddy?
It looks good to me.
Okay.
I was really well put together.
Okay, great. How about you, Ashley?
I did not see anything in the minutes that needed correcting, so I'm in agreement with the group.
Okay. And last but not least, Eric, how about you, sir?
I read it, and I had no corrections. It looks good.
Okay. So I am, let's go ahead and vote for approval of the minutes. I get a second.
Second.
Right.
So I take it, Cedric, you were the motioning for approval?
Okay. Yes, motion for approval. Yes, sir. Sorry.
Okay. And then, of course, it was seconded by June. All right. So if roll call, Eric Howard.
Aye.
Ashley Jackson.
Aye.
Cedric Smith.
Aye.
Jean Webb?
Yes.
Josue Romero?
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0.
All right, great. So now let's move on to call to the audience. I was hoping, I thought Eric, we was going to discuss Daniel being here. But I don't see anybody else, here. So I am going to move on. Let's see here where we're at. Item 4, update from HRC representative concerning LGBTQ plus.
Yes.
Dr. And June.
Yes. The major thing that was moved at the LGBTQ commission meeting was that there's a question about the climate or disruption to DEI and non-discrimination policies. And the commissioners would like to know if any of the city's pertinent ordinances or policies are currently or potentially facing challenge. And so we, Commissioner Brickett Albrecht is bringing this question to the city attorney's office. And I think that probably is a question that we will need to have answered as well.
Okay. Thank you for sharing, ma'am. All right. No, I said thank you for sharing, ma'am. And you wanted us to discuss, what was that again? Sorry.
Well,
you said there was something that we wanted to discuss. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a question that probably we would like to have answered as well. Is there any, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble talking tonight, but does the city have non-discrimination policies which are in conflict with what has been coming out of the federal government, actually? And so this question is being asked from the LGBTQ mission, and they're going to the city attorney's office.
Okay, I'm writing that down. You know, that reminded me when I attended this meeting a few months ago and over at the Dunbar Center when they were mentioning the number of lawsuits that the city has towards President Trump and his executive orders. I'm going to have to go back through my notes and review that website. There was a website that was provided that I shared, and I think that website provides updates. I'm curious if that's something that we could probably look into to see, to help us answer that question, right? I imagine so, but obviously I would need to verify.
I think it's important that we do know.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you. One second.
And I just want to note that John Dalton has come on, and I have him down at 5:26.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, John. All right. So, anything else, ma'am, or does anyone have any questions for June? Any remarks, anything at this time?
So how again are we, will our role in this, are we going to do a specific action or just add it to the next meeting agenda, or I missed that. I'm sorry.
So I think it's more, oh, go ahead, June. I saw you was going to speak.
I would like to suggest we do have that as an agenda item. Because they have been moving pretty quickly on DEI from the federal level. And having been working with the city for the last 50 years, I think that on non-discrimination, we certainly have policies which fall in that category.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I think one example that comes to mind is the Supreme Court ruling for Los Angeles that they can basically profile people if they look like they could be undocumented or underdocumented, that they can question them. And it's unclear whether that applies to Los Angeles now or the entire country. So I'm curious what our policies around that from a city level are. That could be an example of a kind of a conflict.
Well, that is just racial profiling. And actually, I was going to bring that up under a later item. Yes. Okay.
Right. Did they mention anything about other cities that are interested in or also looking into this? Because I would think that there would be other cities around the country that are kind of maybe there's a coalition to tap into.
I bet there are.
Okay, so any further discussion on this will have to be agendized, which you can do at the next meeting. June's report was more informative, so I just want to remind everyone on that.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
See where it's falling or maybe current events. Okay, I want to move on to section 5. Follow up with Councilmember Lane's office regarding TCE. I'm not sure. I think we probably need to change that title to for that section because I think now it's more so kind of get updating as far as after the resolution meeting or the mayor and council meeting they had yesterday, we may have some additional steps that we can take and need to take. I saw the letter that Rick emailed out. I couldn't read it fully. Eric, I don't know if you want to speak upon it. And I guess, Rick, before we go further, I guess I could take this opportunity for all the last few days, everything that transpired, we can discuss that now during this section since it does involve the TCE action that we have in play, correct?
I feel that that is correct, yes, sir.
Okay, great. So I'll start, Eric, and then we'll kind of end with you providing an update, okay? But so a couple days ago, I received a call from Mr. J.D. Wallace over at News 13. He wanted to do an interview with the commission concerning the TCE resolution letter and that was presented to the council, this mayor and city council during their meeting yesterday. So I did a quick interview. So did Dr. Daniel Sullivan. It was shown on News 13, I think, at 6 p.m. Sorry, 6 p.m. and so I also reached out to Gabriella and asked if we could have two speakers attend the meeting that was conducted yesterday and kind of give about a 2 to 3 minute speech or answer any questions. Thankfully, Dr. Sullivan was able to attend, along with Mr. I can't remember his name right now. I know it starts with a J. I want to say Harmelio, something along those lines, but probably butchering his name. Sorry, sir, if you listen. Anyway, so they were able to attend the meeting, kind of state a few facts, answer some questions, and it looks good according to Dr. Sullivan. It looks like the mayor and the council, some of the council members spoke positive about the resolution letter, and we believe we may have a possible path forward and additional steps we need to take to continue to push. At this time, I'm going to ask Eric if he could continue with the update, because I did not read that letter that Dr. Sellerman sent out yet, or emailed. That was emailed. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, you know, and actually Daniel is here. So if it's okay, Daniel, I might actually just pass the ball to you maybe just give kind of your highlights and what you shared in the letter and some next steps.
Sure. Hi, everyone. I just kind of signed on and I can be here for a little bit tonight. Thanks for inviting me, Eric. Cedric, thanks for all your work this week on it, and the summary sounded good to me. I guess in terms of the meeting with mayor and council, all I can add, so Roberto Jaramillo is the name of the community member who was with me. And yeah, we both spoke and answered questions from mayor and council. I'm not sure how typical that is actually, because it was during the study session when they were discussing the resolution. But yeah, I would say the two council members, Lane Santa Cruz and Rocky Perez from wards 1 and 5, they were sort of, I guess, sponsoring the resolution or bringing the item forward, I guess you could say. And they spoke very positively and enthusiastically about it. A few other Congress members, or sorry, council members, said similarly positive things. Mayor Romero, you know, read some remarks that were kind of in support of the idea. So I would say, just to kind of clarify for the HRC and in terms of what Eric thought we could maybe brainstorm a little bit about. So the one kind of, I guess, amendment, or I don't know how to put it, but the one thing the mayor said as sort of a recommendation for, and so this is in fact where it stands with the city, that the mayor basically instructed, as I understand, the city manager and city attorney to revise some of the language of the resolution. And this is something where John may actually know more, because I'm not entirely sure where this stands, because of course when y'all wrote the resolution, it's sort of like the HRC passing the resolution, but you know, now mayor and council are more or less taking what we sent to them, and it sounds like they want to sort of approve it, pass it. I don't know what that means, if they're now saying they themselves are like endorsing it or just allowing what the HRC wrote to become part of the record or something. But in any event, the mayor wanted the attorney and the manager to basically, as I understood it, and the most positive outcome would be that there would be some language added where Pima County, in addition to the city of Tucson, is being called upon in the resolution to address these issues. Because as the mayor and the city manager pointed out, one of the complications here is that the city does not technically have a public health department. So Pima County Health is sort of the local, I guess, public health department. And so the idea was that particularly for the healthcare initiatives that are, you know, referred to in the resolution, there wouldn't really be any, I guess, teeth or resources from the city necessarily, other than recommending that these things happen, for those things to actually unfold. And so the idea was sort of, I guess, two main recommendations from the mayor, and she just kind of made these directly to me and to the HRC. So one would be, you know, the idea that they are amending the resolution language to call on Pima County to also pay attention to these things. And I don't know for sure, but it seemed to me, based on the discussion, that once that language or whatever they feel is adequate is, you know, sort of amended in the resolution, that at some future meeting, I imagine mayor and council are just going to announce this or pass it or whatever they do with such things. That was kind of the impression that I got. But then the other recommendation was, and this is where, again, Eric or the rest of you may have some ideas. The mayor basically said to try to do something like this with the Pima County Board of Supervisors. So more or less address them as the kind of comparable entity to mayor and council. So what mayor and council represents for the city, the board of supervisors represent for Pima County. And again, because Pima County is in charge of the health department. They advised us to, it's not that they're abdicating this resolution or that they're not going to pass it themselves or sort of lend their weight to it, but they think we should pursue a similar course with Pima County Board of Supervisors, and apparently they could also pass such a resolution and perhaps be able to actually have more responsibility or accountability for the healthcare components. So I guess that would be my summary of where we stand. Overall, at least for mayor and council, they seemed very supportive and it seemed like a success for us. But again, in part because the resolution is mostly just advocating for things rather than, you know, allocating specific funding or anything, it seems vital to at least follow up with Pima County as well, as the mayor recommended.
Okay. And so now the two recommendations, sir, is it an or is it an and? Like, should we recommend, like, do take both actions, right? Reach out, I guess, at, you know, well, the city manager and attorney, they're going to add the language themselves.
Yeah. So my understanding is, I think that's just something that is going to happen. I mean, John and Eric may have some thoughts on, there's the, something I'm not clear on is, where the HRC stands in relation to mayor and council. So whatever happens with the resolution moving forward that we sent to them, I'm getting some echoes, but anyway, there's that part of it. But yeah, I think the manager and the attorney were just going to adjust the language on their own. And then I assume that at the next mayor and council meeting, it will come up again and hopefully maybe come up in their public meeting. But yes, the recommendation I think for us is to pursue, an independent, but, you know, parallel, resolution with Pima County.
Okay. So I got another question, and everyone please help me out with this. So I'm wondering if now should we, or if we are able to take the letter which the city manager and attorney edits and they add the language, because I imagine it's going to be additional details, kind of more direct on allocation of funding, resources, et cetera. Take that letter and use that verbiage to pass along to the Board of Supervisors. Or do we just go ahead, take what we have and press on to the Board of Supervisors? Does that make sense? Because I'm wondering if, because, you know, they're privy to more kind of information that we're not to as far as resources, right? And so would it make sense for us to see what they edit, what they add, and then use that to kind of build upon to forward to the Board of Supervisors? What is everyone's thoughts? And John, help me out with this, because you may be a lot more familiar with it than I. And I think he froze. So that's anybody. Anyway.
Yeah, I think John may be frozen for the moment. But that sounds like a very good question to me, Cedric. So, yeah. Because if nothing else, it sounded like mayor and council and the city manager are planning to add language encouraging Pima County to address these things. So that it might make sense to wait for that, but I'll see if John has thoughts.
Yeah. I don't know. Can you guys hear me? Okay.
We got you loud and clear.
Cool. So I need to catch up with a lot of the stuff going on. I've been in DC and all over the place lately, but the, basic knowledge is basic. I would say we would wait for them to finish their resolution. So whatever, if we want to, or they want to forward it to Pima County, then we can have something to work off of on, you know, all of our ends. If we want to build upon whatever Tucson did and then kind of work our own way to, you know, influence Pima County supervisors to maybe, you know, go further or, you know, push it in a further direction to where we want. Cause I know that in our initial discussions very early on, you know, the recommendation was kind of somewhat broad. So it doesn't become too like because I anticipated, you know, that the city attorney and all of them would start looking at it, and they're going to kind of be hesitant in terms of language that could bring any type of responsibility to the city and all that kind of stuff. And then, but having those statements and those, you know, acknowledgments, you know, it can, you know, use that as momentum to build into further action and, you know, money, funds, or whatever we are trying to, you know, target. But, you know, now that we have some attention rolling into the subject and the topic and the city's, you know, acknowledging it, once they, what it sounds like, you know, complete this resolution that's somewhat maybe loosely or somewhat tied to ours, that whatever they come up with, they're going to do what they're going to do and vote yes or vote, you know, to have uphold that resolution. But I think our best bet is wait for them to finish that up, vote on it, pass it, and then build upon that to influence Pima County's resolution if they so to, or if they so decide to take that up as well.
Okay, sounds good. So I think maybe section 5 can be, agenda topic 5 can be updated to, you know, just follow up regarding the TCE resolution letter or something like that instead of really pinpointing Ward 1 office. Mm-hmm. And then we can just keep that on the agenda. So I correct me if I'm wrong, so I think at this point we're kind of just standing by, right? We're just going to stand by. I'll follow up, obviously. Keep following up to see where they are with the city manager or city attorney with as far as adding that language. And then once we kind of, once they get the ball rolling, kind of have a better direction on where we need to go, which path we need to take once that language is added to that letter and they forward it up.
Yeah, I wonder too if we can put together a thank you letter. I don't know if that is something that we should have on our letterhead as HRC or if that's something that, you know, I could do as a co-author or the subcommittee or you as the chair, you know, I don't know what the right way to do that is, but, you know, and I don't know what their timeline is. I don't know if that's something that takes a week or 2 months or, you know, for them to finalize that.
Yeah, that's a good question. That's what I was going to ask too.
I don't know, Rick, do you have any insights on how slow or fast, or maybe it depends?
An approximate ECD estimate time of completion or documentation.
You're on mute, Rick. Okay.
Yes, I apologize. can you repeat that question again?
Oh, we're waiting for the city manager's office to revise slightly the HRC resolution that they looked at this week. Do you have any idea how long roughly that takes, or does it depend?
I don't have a preview to that type of information. I would suggest that you would continue with your channeling through the Ward 1 office to get to the answers that you're seeking.
Okay. That sounds good. So then for a letter, just a thank you letter, do you have thoughts, Cedric, on either making this kind of a formal HRC letter, thank you, or do we want to wait until they pass it and then say thank you?
Yeah, I was thinking wait until they pass it
before
we say thank you. If they ain't pass it, then I'm not, you know.
Okay. I don't mind drafting something. I don't know, you know, if it'll be before or after our next meeting, but I could have something for our next meeting to review. And, you know, just like the resolution letter that we sent to them, kind of a similar process. We approve that and then I'll sign it, you know, digitally and then send it over to them or have it on standby ready to send it over to them when they pass it.
Sounds good. And we can keep that under this agenda as well. This will kind of be our our section to kind of provide updates on this action.
Okay. And I don't know if this is an appropriate space to I'm just curious if anybody has any contacts with the Board of Supervisors at Pima County, particularly around any kind of the health, their Department of Health.
I personally do not, but I can make one.
Yeah, just something maybe to flag when it becomes relevant. So there is one supervisor, Andres Cano, District 5, who I just know is active or concerned about environmental issues. So I've seen him speak on that topic. So I think he knows the history and so on. And so he might be at least just sympathetic to the idea of the resolution. So that might be something to, or a sort of a way in, maybe similar to the Ward 1 entry that we had at the city.
Well, yeah. How do you spell his last name, Dr. Salomino?
C-A-N-O. Okay, I don't remember the correct pronunciation. But.
Okay.
Yeah, District 5, which is covers part of Bright South. And I was kind of looking into this too. Matt Hines, H-E-I-N-Z, is District 2. And that is, I think, very much in that, it's like equivalent to Ward 5. It's kind of that TARP area. Okay. And looks like he has a public health background, which is interesting, appointed by Obama. And so it seems like he might be sympathetic also.
You said Matthew, Eric?
Matthew, yeah, okay. Matt. Ein's District 2, and then Andrea's District 5 would be kind of the equivalent to Ward 1 and Ward 5 from the Pima County perspective.
Well, what was Kano's first name? I had wrote down Andrew. It's not Andrew?
Andrea.
Andres or Andres, yeah.
Andres.
Yeah, so I'll probably need to sign off here, but this all sounds good to me, Cedric, and I wanted to just kind of reiterate for everyone that Mayor and Council, at least in the study session, expressed a lot of gratitude to the HRC for doing this. So I think, if nothing else, you know, in the context of that meeting and the city government, they felt like this was good work to be doing and they commended it. So just to let everybody know that.
Good to hear. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you again, Daniel. I know it was a unpredictable last couple of days to be interviewed and to come in. So just your expertise is really valued. So just really, really appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah. I appreciate all of you and all your work.
All right. Any other comments or questions?
I don't know when we want to reach out to them on timing and such, but, you know, maybe Matt and Andreas, you know, we could get the MoCA event on their radar. I don't know where we'll do something. I don't know what exactly that looks like, but to acknowledge this, you know, even if it stays at this level, I think there's something to celebrate. But maybe we can figure out maybe in our next meeting or in the subcommittee group that's formed, a way to invite them to that event.
Sounds good.
Yes. And I'm sure Alicia as the organizer could just do it independently and, you know, but yeah, we can talk about that if we want to do it through the HRC. It sounds like June, or it looks like June wants to say something, but I think you're muted, June.
Yes, I've known Andre since high school. I've known him since he worked for Richard Elias. He got his first job with Richard through the youth group that I was in charge of. So I can, whatever you want me to do, I can do it with Andres.
Well, okay, awesome. See? That's a small world. It's a small world, yeah. Too.
So you just tell me what to do.
Okay.
That's wonderful. Thanks.
right. Thank you, ma'am. Any other any questions or comments before we move on? All right. I'm going to move on to item six. What's new in Tucson or Pima County? I think we just kind of went over a great update on what we pretty much have going on. See you later, sir. Thank you. Thank you for attending. Appreciate the update.
Thanks.
And all the work last recent days.
Thank you. Yep.
I haven't been still following Project Blue, honestly. I know they said no, but my wife mentioned something to me. I have to look into it about, you know, there's still kind of some talks about them owning that land that they have out here that they bought or something along those lines. So I'm not going to jump the gun or really provide too much info on that. I need to do some research. So, but other than that, to be honest, guys, I don't have any other updates on me personally on what's going on in Tucson. How about anyone else? I feel like I'm missing something, though. I don't know. I'll just move on. Does anyone have anything else for item six? All right. Vacancy advisory positions. And I have no update on that as either. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Someone's going to speak.
Yeah, I was going to mention, if I am looking at the records correctly, my term should expire. My term expires, I think, next year, if I'm not mistaken. I just want to double check that. But it would be like September 10th, but I think it's 26th. But I just wanted to verify. I don't know if Rick has that on hand, but just wanted to check.
I'm looking that up as we speak. I just need a few more seconds. Okay, Human Relations Commission. Okay, so I see here for your position there, September 10th, 2026.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I just want to double check, just make sure that you're right. I just wrote it down and then I realized, I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, that as a full commission member, you needed to be off at least one full year for you to be able to come back on as a voting member.
Correct.
So you'll be, I guess, at that mark, you know, soon, right?
Yes. I believe today. But, I think technically around today. But
I can double check it with tomorrow with the person who's now assigned to BCCs, and I can shoot you an email. We can go from there if you'd like.
Perfect. Yep. And I was just going to see, I don't know if you know offhand what vacancies there are currently, if there are any.
As for the vacancies for the commission, we have the mayor office is vacant. The Ward 1 is vacant. Yes, those are the two that we have.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Chairperson summary of current events. I currently have no additional updates. Moving to agenda 9, commissioner's summary of current events. Does anyone have anything they'd like to share?
I can go right now if that's fine, but just since we are the Human Relations Commission, so we do obviously, like human rights, civil rights issues, discrimination. I just wanted to note the passing of Joseph McNeil. I don't know if that's a name familiar to any of us or many of us, but I'll just read this statement right here. So Joseph Alfred McNeil was a major general in the United States Air Force who was best known for being a member of the Greensboro Four, a group of African American college students who on February 1st, 1960, sat down at a segregated Woolworth's lunch counter in downtown Greensboro, North Carolina, challenging the store's policy of denying service to non-white customers. He passed away, I don't know if I mentioned the date yet again, but September 4th of this year. And that was a notable civil rights figure that made some, briefly made some national news, so I thought it'd be good to mention that under this section.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. Anyone have anything else? All right. Next up, future agendas. So I think some of the future agendas that we were talking about, we kind of list, we could list under item five, right? You know, I guess we could, I want to do some research and try to get an update and see what's going on with Project Blue, try to follow up on that just to keep us aware of that. So we could add that. Other than that, I'm trying to think. I swear there's so much I feel like is slipping my mind right now.
Did we want to add an agenda item possibly for that thank you letter just in case something happens on then? In Eric, I don't know if you wanted to have that as a separate.
Yeah, I was, when you mentioned that, I was thinking, because initially I thought maybe that would be under item five, but we can have it as a separate future agenda. Yeah.
That way we can vote on it if necessary. Yeah.
Great idea.
Did June just...
Did she fall off? Oh, here she comes.
There she is.
Think she might be getting disconnected. Hello, yeah. Ma'am. You may want to try to go off camera to see if that helps the connection. You fell off again. You dropped off.
I really think it's CenturyLink.
I always think it's Cox. So either way, we're pretty much we're not winning with our internet.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have those two, right? And the Project Blue update, the thank you letter. Anything else, team?
Okay. Well, was there? Yeah, go ahead, June.
I did have one thing. You know, I work with Pima County Interfaith, and on October 12th, they have a person coming to St. Francis in the foothills, representing the Arizona Association of Mobile Homeowners, because there's been some major problems people are having for mobile homeowners, mostly about rent.
Do they kind of give an explanation on what the issue is with it? Is it just the... you know, is the increase in rent or what
yes.
do they?
It's okay. It's an increase in rent, and is partly attributed to people coming in from out of town and buying the sites where where they put their mobile homes, mm-hmm. and then they're jacking up the rent.
Yeah. Okay.
We could agendize that as a topic, I think, if we wanted to do some research into it. Because I know we did that previously, maybe over a year or two, when there was that
apartment complex
hike in rents.
Yeah. Yeah, around this.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be at 11 o'clock at St. Francis in the foothills on October 12th. I'll be there. I can take notes.
Yes, I'll be out of town that weekend. But if you could, that'd be great.
Okay.
You said at the foothills, I'm writing this down just in case.
Yeah, That's located at Swan and River.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. All right.
Do you think that TCE item 5, kind of standing one, so we talked about the letter being separate, but anything, is that kind of just then it would be a catch-all for, you know, if we wanted to review the language, revise language if it happens to come, if we wanted to strategize a little bit more about the county approach or that work, you know, are those, I guess I don't want to come to a point where we feel limited in what we can talk about, and we want to make sure that language is accurate.
Yeah, I think that could be just a general discussion, but then kind of similar to the thank you letter, once we kind of determine which action we want to take next, we can add that onto a future agenda to where we can vote, you know. So I think I'm thinking of it as if like brainstorming, right? We use that item to brainstorm, and then once we do come up with an idea that we want to press forward, then we could put that on a future agenda to where we could go ahead, review if need be, and then vote as needed. What do you guys take? Silence is agreement. Thank you, guys. Reminds me of work. I get this. We get it all time in meetings, of course. All right. Anything else? Josue, you got anything, buddy? You quiet. John, you met Josue yet? I believe you were here at the last meeting, John.
Me?
Yes.
I cut out for a second. What were you saying?
Have you met our new member, War 6 Josue?
I think I missed the last meeting. So okay. Which one is, who is it?
Josue Romero. He is now the commissioner for Ward 6, newly joined the team. So I wasn't sure if he was at the last meeting either.
Gotcha. Welcome.
Thank you. All right. I don't have anything that comes to mind. I don't know if there are like, or the two things that come to mind, I don't know if they're like appropriate or not, but I'll share them. And if they're not, then you can let me know. But I just wanted to share in case folks weren't aware that September is Suicide Prevention Month, and also October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Emerge is putting together an annual walk in partnership with a few organizations in the community, including Divisible Tohono, to raise awareness around missing and murdered Indigenous women. I'm not sure if you all are familiar with that crisis, but Tucson is number 3 in the country for missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. And also in that, Emerge is partnering with Tucson Juneteenth, Goodwill, and SACASA, which is a Southern Arizona Sexual Assault organization, and with the City of Tucson's Community Health, Community Safety, Wealth, and Wellness Program to center survivors of violence in our community. That includes domestic abuse, sexual assault, gun violence, and racism, and homophobia and transphobia. So just wanted to share that that's coming in October as a way to bring community together to just uplift a lot of like folks who are the most vulnerable in our community.
Thank you for sharing. I appreciate that. I was sitting here talking and I must have muted myself. Thank you for sharing that information, Josue. It's a lot of great information. If you could, I know I'm not, you said it's in October. Do you have, the kind of like, I know you mentioned the annual walk, things like that for these events. You have like date, times, and locations currently. And if not, no biggie, the next meeting, we can just kind of have you brief that information in the commissioner's current events.
Okay. I do. Sorry, I didn't mention that. But it is, the walk is Saturday, October 18th, and it will be at Reed Park from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. There'll be an opening ceremony, then the walk will take place, and then there will be a number of activities after the walk that will be center healing. So Indivisible Tohono will be displaying their red dress art installation, which is like a project to honor that represents all the folks who have been lost to the MMIWG crisis. Sakasa will be facilitating some coping skills art project. Emerge will display what is called the Clothing Line Project, which are shirts that survivors in our community or DV survivors in our community have created to share their stories. And so all the organizations will be highlighting ways to center healing and safety in their activities. And I forgot to mention that the Consulado de Mexico is also partnering with Emerge this year to host this event, to bring in the experiences of our local Mexican community.
Okay.
And just as a quick note, this is a question for Rick. So as Cedric is chair, can he move this into the, like, bring back an agenda item so we can have that placed into that section?
Yes.
Okay. So Cedric, just a note, if we do like a thing like this where we have to circle back, but we're not adjourned yet, you can circle back into the agenda, into a previous subject. And then that way we can have it. I mean, I'm sure Rick will have it all correct, but I'm just saying
I'll fix it.
That's how it could work. Yeah.
Well, I just say let's move back to agenda.
Okay. And since we're on that topic, the 15th of October is Mexican Independence Day. Just wanted to note that. And there will be celebrations throughout Tucson that people can look up. And I don't know if anybody on the commission would be free on the 15th. I would have to inquire. I know there's some tickets that are free. But there's the Tucson Symphony Orchestra will be hosting a celebration with the Mexican consulate in celebration of those events at the Linda Ronstadt Hall. And I can shoot details to Rick that can be forwarded to everybody from that point so we can coordinate within the laws of the open meeting laws. But that's all I have.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. If there's nothing else, I move to adjourn the meeting. All right. Move to adjourn the meeting. Oh, go ahead, Rick.
No, go ahead. I was going to say the time, but I thought you were about to say two. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I was. 6:11. 6:11 p.m. Usually I say
6:11,
but...
Thank you, everyone. It was good to see you, everyone. I'll see you next month.
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Adios.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone.